Well, good morning and welcome to the live webcast of Tree of Life Christian Church. So glad personally to be back with you this week, and I appreciate Brian covering for me last week as I was a little bit under the weather after my two trips to Dallas and then to Washington, D.C., but I'm really glad to be back home and glad to be back with you. Just before we start our study, and by the way, you can turn to the book of Romans chapter 12. We'll begin there today. But let me just make a brief announcement. Clint Delaplane, who is the pastor of the First Reformed Church of Cartago, Costa Rica, and has been sent there by us and is supported there by us in that mission, is coming back to visit us this coming week. He's going to be at the Friday night Bible study this coming Friday, April 27th. And then the following Sunday, which is next Sunday, April 29th, rather than doing the first Sunday of the month as our all-church gathering at the new facility, we're going to move that up 1 week so that we can all meet together with Clint and Clint can meet together with all of us. So next Sunday, 4:29, we're going to be at the new facility on Van Owen at 10 a.m. And then the following week, that would ordinarily be an all-church gathering, we will be in home church fellowship the following week. So we'll look forward to seeing you Friday night there and also Sunday morning there. Now, getting back to our study, it's been a little bit of time since our last study. I want to just briefly rehearse, but I want to continue to move on as we go. We are studying through the theme of gifted for service. We've laid a foundation, long foundation, in our Old Testament study, in which we identified and saw that God's purpose for the church is symbolized by the temple structure that He had built, both the tabernacle at the beginning part of Old Testament history, and then later the stone temple through the latter portion of the Old Testament, and that that structure points to us as the church in a very important and symbolic way. And not only the structure itself, but those individuals that served within the precincts of that structure, the Levitical priests, that each one of them individually symbolizes the role, the special role that the Lord has given to each one of us as believers in the new covenant. And that while none of us are Levites, we are all members of what He identifies as a royal priesthood that are called to serve under His leadership as the great high priest, Jesus being the high priest over His spiritual temple, which is the church. And each one of us, as members of that royal priesthood, has been given our own assignment to serve within the temple. Just like the Levites, each had a job to do. When they would come to the temple for work each day, they didn't all do the same thing, and they didn't all do whatever happened to occur to them that day. Each one was assigned a specific category of work by the high priest. And that category of work was what they did every day for the rest of their lives. Now that is a image which points to God's purpose in us, in that every single believer in the new covenant has been given their own assignment from the Lord, and it's a spiritual assignment. That assignment identifies why you're here on this earth. Your life means something more than just, I got saved, the Lord drew me to Himself, I'm now a Christian, and I'm just hanging around waiting for heaven when my life eventually comes to an end. Your life is a life that's on assignment. Now, you may or may not know what your assignment is, and the purpose of this study is to help you get started if you're not sure about your own assignment in identifying what that is. And one of the clues that we've studied together to help you get started in the right direction is to recognize that what the Bible describes in the New Testament as the gifts of the Spirit, that those gifts are clues about our assignment, meaning that the gift is like a tool that the Lord equips each one of us with to accomplish the assignment that He's given us. So He gives to each one of us differing gifts because He's given to each one of us differing assignments. Your gift equips you for your assignment. Now, we've talked about how every one of us is assigned, every one of us is gifted, but then how do you get from the general concept of, okay, I believe that now, I see it in God's Word, I have an assignment, I must have a gift if I have an assignment, but I don't really know what my assignment is, I don't really know what my gift is, and I'd like to figure that out. Well, what we've identified so far is that there's two main clues that the Lord has given us to help us to start to work our way toward an understanding of our assignment and an understanding of our gift. Those clues are, first of all, recognizing the special or unique abilities that the Lord has built into you, into your personality, into who you are, the substance of who you are as an individual person. That there are certain things, since you've come to know the Lord, that begin to develop within you that you can do better than the person to the left of you and better than the person to the right of you. Those are unique spiritual abilities that the Lord develops within you. Now, you may only have one of those, or you may have 10 of those. That doesn't matter. But the recognition of what is it that I can do by the grace of God, not just something that, you know, is automatic to me because I'm such a great person, but by the grace of God at work in my life, what is it that I can do in a more capable way than the person next to me on either side? And those things are indicators of your assignment, where God has given you special grace to serve Him in His kingdom. The other thing we talked about is the passion that God attaches in your heart to your assignment, meaning you will find when God has assigned you to work and serve Him in a specific area in His kingdom, that your heart is more moved in that direction. Your heart's more engaged in that direction. You know, I'm not interested in everything. There are certain things I'm more interested in than others. For instance, when the service ends today, it's actually going to be starting to record here in a few minutes. But I'm going to be watching the Lakers in the playoffs. This is their first day in the playoffs today. Now, if I were to ask for a show of hands here or in the other two fellowships and say, okay, who's with me for the Lakers' first playoff game today? You know, many of you would just go, whatever. You know, I'd rather go out to eat lunch, or I'd rather, you know, go take a nap, or I'd rather go do something else that actually interests me. You know, not all of us are interested in the same things. We're not all stirred by the same things. And while, you know, the Lakers have really nothing directly to do with our spiritual assignment and gift, you know, I wish I could figure a way that they did, but I haven't come up with that yet. Nevertheless, that's a good analogy for the way God does stir our hearts in specific areas in the kingdom. Within the context of being the church, there's certain things that your heart is stirred by more than my heart is stirred by. And there's certain things that my heart is stirred by more than your heart. And recognizing and identifying the differences in our passion, our desire in the area of our assignment, helps us to clarify and identify what it is we're called to do, and then to give ourselves more fully to the doing of those things. Now, the third thing that I wanted to talk about beyond that is it helps us to understand what our assignment is and our gifting is when we begin to recognize that this isn't just something God is going to personally communicate to you privately. Now, I've talked from my own testimony, and you may have experienced this for yourself, that the Lord will communicate to you about what it is that you're assigned to do. He won't just give you an assignment and leave you in the dark. He will find ways to speak to you about that, show you what you're supposed to do with your life. But one of the main ways He will do that is not just directly to you, but indirectly through the other members of the body of Christ. He will confirm that calling and that assignment to you. And then in the context of you being in a healthy relationship with the body of Christ, meaning you're where you belong in the church, you're where you belong in God's kingdom, you're doing your part, you're in the connected Christian community that you're meant to be part of, in the context of that, your gifting and your assignment will begin to rise to the surface in a way that others will recognize and identify. Now, we've talked about that up until now, but how will they be able to recognize that? For instance, how do you recognize if I am called, assigned, and gifted to teach you from God's Word? How do you know that? Of course, I'm up here doing it. I'm up here actually teaching. But how do you know for sure that that's my assignment? And how do I know through your lips that that's my assignment and that that's my gift? It's only by the fruit that doing that assignment bears in your lives. Not just the fruit in my own life. In other words, I'm just going on the assumption here that I am assigned to be a teacher of God's Word. And that my gift that goes along with that assignment is the teaching gift that's described in the New Testament. Now, with that idea, I could stand up here and teach all day long until I was blue in the face. And if it didn't produce a certain kind of fruit in your lives, not just in my life, but in your lives, then you wouldn't know for sure that I was really assigned to be a teacher. And you wouldn't know for sure that I was really gifted to be a teacher. And neither would I. And I would be left wondering, am I really a teacher or not? I can stand here this morning in front of you without, you know, any kind of calling attention to myself, just using myself as an example. I can say with 100% certainty, I know that I'm assigned to teach you God's Word, and I'm gifted to teach you God's Word. Now, how can I know that for sure? Because over the years, the fruit of that assignment and that gift has been testified to by you back to me. In other words, after a teaching ends, and this doesn't happen every single Sunday, doesn't happen every single Friday night, but on a consistent and regular basis, I get feedback from you about what I'm doing as I'm standing up here teaching. Now, if the feedback was just simply you being polite, and I appreciate, you know, that we're polite with one another. You know how it is. I could stand up here and, you know, flap my jaws for 30 minutes and, you know, hot air could be coming out and only hot air. And at the end of that time, you might, because you're a very polite person, you might, you know, if I happen to seek you out and say, hey, what'd you think about the teaching today? In your politeness, you might say what? It was interesting. And then you're looking for the escape, you know, to get out of the conversation before you say something that might hurt my feelings. And, you know, I appreciate, as I said, being polite to one another. But if I were not assigned to be a teacher of God's Word, and if I were not gifted to be a teacher of God's Word, and yet here I was, week after week, taking up half an hour and hours of our time doing this thing, but it became pretty clear and evident shortly that I'm not where I belong. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I certainly do have, because I belong to the Lord, some assignment. I certainly do have some gift, but it's not the teaching gift. Then at a certain point, politeness comes to its outer limit. And you need to stop being polite. And you need to, in love, speak the truth to me. And that truth would be, someone here would need to sit me down and say, Tim, I love you to death. You know, it's clear that you have a desire and a heart for God's Word. But I don't think teaching is your greatest area of gifting and assignment from the Lord. And that tells me that your greatest area must be somewhere else. And I might say to you, well, wait a second. I mean, I'm trying hard. I'm doing my best. You know, how can you say that? And your answer would be, well, you know, the fruit of what you're attempting to do just isn't there. And what would be the fruit that we'd be looking for if we're trying to identify a teaching assignment? I'm just using myself as an example. This same principle that I'm describing applies to every single one of the assignments. And it applies to every single one of the gifts that we're going to be still going through one by one in detail. And this applies to every one of your lives, just like it does to me. But what should we see? We should see the fruit of teaching would be what? Okay, stimulating you, building you up. You should basically understand a lot more about God's Word at the end of the teaching than you do before the teaching began. Now, that may not be every single time. You know how it is. Sometimes when I stand up to teach, it's more fruitful than other times. I even see that. You know, there are some teachings that I feel like I more faithfully delivered what I was supposed to deliver in God's Word than other times. But there should be an overall element that's obvious and evident as you look at week after week after week of me standing to teach God's Word. You should, after a period of time, have grown from that teaching. Your mind should be more enlightened, and your heart should be grasping the principles of God's Word in a way that you wouldn't have been had you not listened to that teaching. It's certainly not the evidence of a teaching assignment gift if I teach week after week after week, and at the end of all of that, you don't really know much more about God's Word than when I first started talking. So, the point is that fruit confirms the assignment and the gift of what God has given you to do to serve Him. Let's read from Romans chapter 12. We'll read from I'll just start with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 8. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The point of verse 1 is, you now belong to God. Present your body to Him as one to serve Him for the rest of your life, as a person that lives out their lives under assignment. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed from the inside out, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. So that in your own life, you see the will of God for your life worked out into every detail of your life. So that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, now here Paul uses a word, it's a very familiar word to us, grace, but we could miss a more subtle connection because of the familiarity of the word grace. The word grace here is a Greek word that's translated grace in our English Bible, but it's literally the word charis. And it's the same word that forms the prefix of the word charismatic when we refer to the gifts of the Spirit. It could just as easily be translated gift here. So Paul would be saying along these lines, for through the gift given to me. So Paul is about to teach them something, but he's teaching by the gift in him to them about the gifts that are in them. So he says, for through the gift or the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace or the gift given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Meaning if your gift is serving, give yourself wholly to the service that God has ordained for you to do, but do it with faith that this is your assignment and this is what God has given to you. So if service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, where does the concept of fruit come into this? Now, I want you to put your marker here. We're going to turn to one other portion of Scripture, and then we're going to come right back to Romans 12. Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 6. I just want to link Romans 12 with Luke 6, and we'll come back to Romans 12. We'll only have time this morning for these two portions of Scripture, but they make the point that's on my heart to make. Luke chapter 6, this is from a larger context of the message that Jesus gave that in one of the Gospels is identified as the Sermon on the Mount. Here, the version in Luke that we have in verse 44 says this. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. We reread that verse. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. So how do we know with 100% certainty, and I really do believe this. I've said this before, but let me reemphasize it. I'm blessed, personally, to know with clarity what my own assignment is and what my own gifting is. Because it frees me to not spend too much energy on areas that are not in my assignment and to spend all of my energy in the area of my assignment. So I'm blessed. But I'm not meant to have a unique or unusual blessing in this regard. That's a blessing God wants you to enjoy, just like I do. He wants you to be very clear about your assignment. How clear? 50% certainty? I think it's this. I'm not sure, though. He wants you to have 100% clarity about what your own assignment is, because he wants you to be free to fulfill it completely in your time here in this life. But how do you know for sure? This is how. It's so simple. You'll know your assignment by the fruit of that assignment, as that fruit is borne out in the context of the life of the body of Christ, the church of God. I'll be able to see you doing your assignment and recognize it by the fruit that that gift in you is producing among us. You'll be able to see the same thing in me. If I don't see that fruit, then that's what? An indicator that that may not be your area of assignment. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and let me reemphasize just the beginning part of the section that I read. Actually, it's about in the middle. It's let me start in verse 3 now. Romans 12:3. For through the grace, the gift given to me, I say to everyone among you, that's every believer in the church in Rome. That applies in the same way to every believer in the church of Tree of Life. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Then he immediately flows right into a description of the gifts of the Spirit in healthy expression through their individual lives. What he's talking about in verse 3, Paul gives us two things in verse 3. He gives us both a warning and an exhortation. The warning is this: don't think more highly of yourself than you should. That's the warning. What's the exhortation? To think so as to have sound judgment. So here's two possibilities as you consider yourself. You think about yourself. And you know what? Even though it is true that believers, just like unbelievers, can dwell on themselves too much, think about themselves too much, overanalyze themselves too much, nevertheless, the Lord does at times call us to stop and think about ourselves, to evaluate ourselves, to exercise judgment toward our own lives. And here, he's not just giving a general warning when he says, listen, Christians, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. He's not just giving a general exhortation or a warning here about don't be conceited. Don't be proud about yourself. He's giving a specific warning about not thinking more highly of yourself in relationship to your assignment and your gifting. That's the context of his warning. And the concern that Paul has is that believers would think that they're assigned to something larger than they actually are, or that they're more gifted than they actually are. Now, there's actually two dangers here. He only mentions one. And it's interesting that he only mentions one. The other one is implied, though, and it's a clear implication. You can make two mistakes when you consider your assignment. One mistake is you can inflate your assignment and your gifting beyond what it should be, beyond reality. And the other is that's thinking more highly of yourself than you should. The other danger is you can deflate your actual assignment and think less of yourself than you should, less of your assignment than you should, less of your gifting than you should. Why do you suppose that he only mentions the one danger, though? Both dangers exist. Well, our natural tendency, in spite of what people say, our natural tendency is always toward pride. Natural tendencies. Because pride is one of the core elements of fallen human nature. So the natural tendency that all people live their lives in, you know, I don't care what person you go out and interview, their natural tendency is to think more highly of themselves than they should. There are a few that, you know, struggle in the opposite direction, and we need to strengthen and encourage their own perspective about their assignment and their gift. But for most of us, we need to just warn each other about the danger of not over magnifying what it is that God has actually called and assigned us to do. Well, this idea, this concept from Luke 6, applied and connected to the way that Paul describes this in Romans 12, is that the true evaluation of your assignment and your gift comes from the obvious and evident expression of fruit as you carry out your real assignment. When he says, think of yourselves exercising sound judgment about your gift, I think that's the phrase that he uses here in verse 3, but right in the middle of verse 3, but to think so as to have sound judgment. That's the exhortation along with the warning. Don't think too highly, but on the other hand, this is what you should do. You should exercise sound judgment. It's a translation of a single word in the original language, which means to have a sane perspective, which of course is the opposite of having an insane perspective. To think soberly of yourself is how it was translated in the Old King James and several of the older translations. The reason why they chose the word soberly is it's the analogy of how a person, if they're what we would describe as having one too many drinks of alcohol, and that person now is identified as being under the influence of that substance that they've ingested into their body. Have you ever observed someone that had one too many drinks of alcohol, and how they act and how they speak and how they think about themselves? For instance, there was a big phenomenon back when it first came out of karaoke. And it's pretty common with the karaoke phenomenon. I don't know if it's still going on today. I don't even know. You know, I haven't been out in that sphere for a long time. But when it first became popular, karaoke typically was done in a bar. And people would go to the bar for karaoke night. And one of the necessary elements is that they would serve drinks to the people that were about to sing. And the reason they would serve drinks to the people about to sing is because they wanted to cloud their sober evaluation of their own singing ability. Because without the drinks, most people wouldn't get up and sing in front of a group of strangers because they know, I'm just not a very good singer. But you pour a couple of three too many drinks in someone, and all of a sudden they think they're Elvis Presley, or they think they're Barbara Streisand. You know, they think that they're, you know, they have this amazing ability to sing because their judgment is clouded. Now, I'm going to tell one story on this, and she's going to have to forgive me for telling this story. Several years ago, this is, gosh, probably 15 years ago now, this house used to be owned by Brian and Patty Thompson. And, you know, we're blessed, you know, to have bought the house from them. But Moshe and Lilia, a couple in our church that you're all familiar with, were married in the backyard of this house. And I was blessed to do the wedding. It was the very first wedding I ever performed. And we had, you know, not only the wedding, but we had the reception, you know, and everything in the backyard. It was a great time. It was a blessed time. And we had a little, I don't know if it was like a music keyboard or whatever set up. And we had a little speaker and a microphone set up also afterwards for people to come up and share if they wanted to share something with Moshe and Lilia. Now, one of the sisters in the church decided to begin to sing using that that microphone that day. And the sister was Patty Thompson. Now, here's the circumstance of her singing. Now, Patty can sing. You know, she's not a bad singer. She's certainly not a bad singer by any stretch of the imagination. If you've ever been near her, she's worshiping. She can sing on key. I can't say the same for Brian, but Patty can actually sing on key. And Brian, you'll have to forgive me. So in this circumstance, the reason this connects with the whole karaoke concept is that Patty has a condition. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but she has an issue with electrolyte balance in her body. And if she drinks too much water, just pure water, just has one too many glasses of water, it affects her system the same as a person who's had one too many drinks of alcohol. she becomes inebriated by the water that she has had to drink. We didn't have any alcohol at this event, but we had plenty of water. And Patty drank some water that day, and she drank apparently one too many glasses of water. And she grabbed the microphone, and she began to sing. And she chose a very appropriate song. The song was Amazing Grace. But it was the way that Patty sang that song that I'll never forget for as long as I live. I don't care if I live another 50 years. I will always remember the day that Patty at Moshe and Lilia's wedding sang Amazing Grace. She sang Amazing Grace like the most talented blues singer you can ever imagine singing Amazing Grace. There was so much soul in her singing of Amazing Grace. Now, I wish we had it on video. I don't think we do. But if we had it on video, I would show it here on the webcast, and you would enjoy what I enjoyed that day. The point is this, though. Had Patty not had one too many drinks of water, she might have chosen to sing. I don't know. But I guarantee you she wouldn't have chosen to sing in the way that she did. That day, she didn't exercise her singing according to sober judgment. She exercised her singing under the influence of electrolyte imbalance. Now, what does this have to do with our gifting and the fruit? The analogy is this. I have, over the years, you've heard me use a couple of examples in this series of teachings before, I have observed many, many, many examples of people with good intentions who were serving the Lord diligently and wholeheartedly in some area of Christian service, but doing so clearly out of the context of the grace that God had given them to serve Him, outside of the area of their assignment, failing to exercise sober judgment, clear and sound-minded evaluation of the grace that God had given them, and doing so with, you know, good intentions. Doing so with a good heart. But we need more when we're coming to the conducting of our life assignment and what we're meant to do in the service of God's kingdom to impact one another's lives and the world around us. We need to find that sweet spot of the grace that God has actually given us, not the grace of God that we think or imagine that He's given us. We need to exercise a sober-minded evaluation of our own area of service. Now, how do we do that? We do that by the fruit that it bears, so that you will have other members of the body of Christ come to you and communicate to you and say, when you did this, when you said this, I was impacted by it. My life, my heart was affected and influenced for the good by it. Just by watching you do this thing, it impacted me. Or just listening to you say this thing, it impacted me. Those are the areas that we need to really fix our attention on and focus in on and really work to develop, because those are the areas of our true assignments. If we're involved in an area and we're not getting that kind of feedback, and I'm not talking about just the polite stuff that we all share with one another, and it's necessary that we do so, but if we're not receiving that kind of feedback, then we need to evaluate. Am I really functioning in the area of my sweet spot? And I've used before examples. I could go around the room and say, you know what, for this person, when you're doing this, or when you're saying this kind of thing, I know that you're functioning in the area of your gifting. I was sharing with Todd McMahon, I'll use him as an example, just recently I had received another. It was either a letter or a card. I forget the form that it came to me in. But Todd has many times over the years gone out of his way, taken time, sat down, and constructed some communication to me, either by card or letter or email, that when I sat down and read it, deeply affected me, impacted me, strengthened me, encouraged me, enabled me to continue going forward in an area of my own assignment, just because he said something to me in the exact way that he said it. And now I've had many people, you know, give me feedback, but I'm saying his feedback impacted me in a greater way. Now, that's fruit, but what is it fruit of? It's fruit that Todd has a gift in the area of encouragement. I know many of you have been really influenced by being encouraged by Todd over the years. And he functions fruitfully in that. He doesn't have to work that up. He doesn't have to practice that. He doesn't have to, you know, fake it. He is a real spiritual encourager. And we all see that, and we all know that. And I probably made him thoroughly, embarrassed about that. But use that as an example, as a template. We need to discover those areas that are producing real fruit from our own lives, and that others have testified to us about that. Part of how, it's not the only way, of course, part of how I know that I'm assigned and gifted to teach is by the encouraging feedback I've received through the years from Todd specifically. Now, I knew that before Todd ever came along, but the Lord has continued to strengthen me in my own assignment by hearing his specific encouragement about how the teachings have impacted his life over the years. That's the way it's meant to work as we, in a sense, cross-pollinate one another and affect and influence one another's lives. But it's in the specific area of real spiritual fruitfulness that we want to focus our attention. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning for our study. Next Sunday morning, we'll be at the new facility to listen to Clint and to share time with our brother from Costa Rica. And then 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, we'll be back here on the webcast. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.